Welcome to this episode of the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Paula Barnard-Ashton, and each week we host a guest in studio who shares their experiences and ideas about blended learning. In this episode, we focus on faculty professional learning with our studio guest, Shira Moch. Welcome, Shira.
Thanks, Paula. It's lovely to be here.
So, Shira, before we get into our questions and discussion, I just want to tell the audience a little bit about who you are. So Shira is the acting head for the Center of Health Sciences Education, and she's committed to building a collaborative and adaptive learning environment in the faculty through excellence in curriculum design, assessment strategies, staff teaching, and scholarship. As a Wits-trained pharmacist, Shira began her career at the university in pharmacology as a lecturer, and she's had over 30 years' experience teaching students from a wide range of disciplines. In 2015, she joined the Center for Health Sciences Education, switching her focus from teaching students to empowering faculty. So Shira, you were one of the early adopters of blended learning in pharmacology. I mean, I remember our journey way back when I was first launching Moodle. You've been committed to blended learning for many a year now, first as a pharmacology lecturer, but more recently also in the work that you do in the postgraduate diploma and masters of health sciences education. Tell us a bit about your journey with blended learning and what you see as its value.
Thanks, Paula. As you say, I started a very long time ago. And when you lecture pharmacology, you have to understand that pharmacology is a very conceptual discipline. You have, on the one hand, somebody presenting with symptoms indicative of pathology, and then you want to get them back to normal physiology. And pharmacology is the bridge in between that helps you do that. So there's not anything you can actually see. And when you teach students about receptors and drug interactions, it's all in their head. And so when you stand and you lecture, it's sometimes very hard for students to actually understand what you're talking about. And I very soon learnt as a young lecturer that you had to use diagrams and pictures and animations, and that landed up using videos. And students started asking me, could I give them the videos rather than just showing them in the class? And could there be a place where we collected those kinds of materials? And it was really synchronous that you had started using Moodle in the School of Therapeutic Sciences. And that's really the reason why I got so involved in blended learning right at the beginning, that students wanted material and there was no, this was a good way to curate that material and also to help them with their understanding. So it was fortuitous, I guess. And we then went into the era of the idea of flipped classrooms. I hesitate to use the terminology, but the idea that the teaching didn't all have to be done in the classroom, and to provide, rather than just a lecture for students, a full learning experience that they could go back to and that they could consolidate in. And that moved, I think, the entire class or group of students that we taught from learning things by rote, which really showed sometimes that they didn't understand, but they could still say the words, to really understanding what it was about the drug that was working on the illness or the body that was working on the drug. And that's the kind of understanding that we were looking for. And that's why blended learning started to help us to see what kind of experience students had.
Because you used tutorials right in the beginning. They had a weekly tutorial that they then had to work through, and it gave them a score as to how they were understanding the information. You were quite a leader of that kind of feedback loops that you can do inside a tutorial and then bring them into the class for a more in-depth discussion.
Yes. So I think it was hard for the students to begin with because they were very used to just being lectured. But I pretty soon realized the standard mantra that we come to, that talking actually is not teaching. And for the students, listening is not learning. And so we had to help them to bridge the idea of making their own sense of the material that they actually had to work with, and trying to see if they understood it for themselves as well as for us to know. And that birthed the idea, I think, of the tutorial loop, that it was purely formative. We didn't give them marks for it, but they did have to participate. And they then learnt from the right answers and the wrong answers. And to be honest, I'm quite sure they all worked in groups in terms of the kinds of things that they were submitting. And that actually encouraged the kind of learning we were looking for. So it was a fantastic way to break them out of the fact that the only learning that would happen would be in lectures. Mm-hmm. And then they'd have to go home and learn things by themselves. And it really bridged the idea of learning from home as well as learning in the classroom. And the expectation was that students would spend the time.
Because you even allocated it in the class. I mean, you allocated in the timetable time for those blended learning tutorials.
Absolutely.
So there was no real excuse. You booked the computer laboratory even to make sure it was available.
Yeah. So I think that it was just moving students out of their comfort zone, that there was another way that they could be interacting with this material. And I do have to say that I think that the results showed that the student engagement was really much better. It was lucky for me that I was teaching a whole block with one specific exam at the end of it. And we actually did some research on the types of results that happened before and then the types of results we could get having incorporated the whole blended philosophy of allowing students other time to engage with the work, not just only in the classroom and not just only with me, with each other and in seeing what other people were doing. So it was that start that really encouraged me to start thinking about how it is that we could really redesign the kinds of teaching we did in pharmacology. And I very soon found that all of my colleagues were very interested as well. And so I realized that I was spending a lot of my time in explaining to people why I do what I do and in helping them to think of different ways of mounting their teaching and delivering what it was they had to deliver. And that's one of the stimuli that I had for moving across to the Center for Health Science Education, because I realized that I was spending a lot of time helping
teaching
staff.
Teachers.
And so that became my job.
So since your shift across to the Center for Health Sciences Education, obviously your passion for helping lecturers develop their education abilities. I mean, we're all trained as OTs, physios, nurses. We're not necessarily trained as educators. So tell us a bit about the CHSE and what role it plays in ensuring that blended learning happens in the faculty.
It's really interesting that you mention that we all come in with our health science qualifications, and we think because we've managed to attain that qualification that we can then impart that knowledge to other people in their journey towards becoming the health professionals. And one of the roles that CHSE has taken is to try and show staff that the concept of education has its own body of knowledge and its own theories and skills. And that in order to be a teacher that can really encourage students to learn, you do have to know something about how it is that students learn.
Absolutely.
And so the kinds of interventions that we've put in place, even if it's just a 15-minute discussion outside of a classroom or a more formal webinar or even workshop, we have 2- and 3-hour workshops, are designed to help people see that students learn differently. All students learn differently, and that when we're trying to engage students in the learning, that we need to think differently about what we do.
So they talk at versus getting the students to do.
And so blended learning is very much a part of that, because allowing students an asynchronous time where they can engage without the teacher being present, but that the materials are curated by the lecturer and are acknowledged as something that is going to move the learning forward, I think is a good space for a student to be in.
So out of the workshops, there's been an interest in actually more formalized curricula for health professions education and health sciences education. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the postgrad diploma and the Masters of Science in health sciences education?
Sure. So our faculty is particularly special. There is a diploma across the university in higher education and many master's degrees in a lot of the other schools relating to education. But in our faculty, we have a specialized postgraduate diploma in health science education. And we accept students into that program, not only from the Faculty of Health Sciences, but from other health science institutions that teach, for example, nursing academies and academies for training emergency care practitioners and other universities that don't have this diploma. So we have quite a mixed class. And within the scope of the diploma, we go through a formal introduction to education and education theory, how people learn. And we spend quite a bit of time on the concept of how people can design learning events. And that's where the blended learning comes in. Not only do we model blended learning in our own PGDIP, but we also encourage lecturers to look at their teaching opportunities as learning opportunities for students. And in our master's program, we work towards helping our students, who are now staff members, to develop leadership capacity in health science education. In other words, we want people who, at the end of this master's program, to be able to sit in committees and make meaningful contributions towards the teaching and learning in their environment, in their departments, in their schools, and to do so knowledgeably and meaningfully. And in order to do that, they have to have experienced the full gamut of what it means to design blended learning engagements and to use blended learning as part of their strategy in terms of the departmental teaching. And it gives them an opportunity to practice that as well as to develop the capacity to make that meaningful contribution.
And they also have to do research as part of it. So I think the scholarship of teaching and learning really comes in that master's program, where they have to produce their own evidence as to why their education is working.
Yeah. It's very exciting, I think, for us to build a research arm in teaching and learning across the faculty, because there are people who are really keen to implement innovation and intervention. But one of the aims of the centre is to help people to research that innovation and to communicate to the wider community, not only in the university, but nationally and internationally, the kinds of things that we're doing. And that master's program gives us the opportunity to begin that journey in scholarship.
Absolutely. So are there any new initiatives, or what are the next steps for the Centre for Health Sciences Education?
So essentially our aim is to get to everybody. We have a very distributed faculty. We have people who teach in hospitals and who can't come in to, for example, scheduled workshops. So we run a weekly professional learning series where people can come in and engage with the kinds of things that they're seeing in their own environment, and also topical ideas in health science education, like workplace-based assessment and like the professional contract between lecturers and their students, and things that directly affect them in the daily work that they do.
So it's those meaningful conversations. It's a platform to really have the discussions and get ideas and tools to implement in the clinical environments when they don't have those conversations in other opportunities.
That's definitely the idea. And because it's weekly, most people try and get there at least once a week. And it has encouraged, I think, that kind of dialogue and feedback with regards to the things that people would like to learn about improving their teaching. In addition, of course, we really want to move on to the kinds of cutting edge things that are available worldwide in health science education. We have, as you know, a simulation laboratory, and you've had discussions about that before. But the concept of helping people to use technology in the teaching that they do, and in the concept of the kind of teaching that we do. So, for example, in interprofessional education, rather than struggling with timetabling, which is really the biggest block in getting students to work together, we can work on developing a virtual world where students can then appreciate what other people do in their daily lives, in their particular scope of practice, and where their own scope of practice could fit in. So, yeah, lots of big ideas on the horizon. And hopefully, with the correct support and resources, we'll really be able to give that to the faculty as part of their journey towards becoming great teachers.
So I'm very excited about the way forward. And we really do appreciate you taking the time to join us and tell us a little bit more about professional learning and getting to grips with what blended learning is and how they can actually do it in their own teaching. So Shira, before we close off, are there any last comments or thoughts or ideas that you'd like to share with our audience?
Thanks, Paula. We love it when people are enthusiastic about their teaching, but we also want to provide a platform for people who feel stressed and burned out with their teaching. And I think that having a specific center for health science education is a resource that the faculty really needs to know that they can use. And we're very much driven by what it is that people want to learn. So it's an open invitation to anybody out there who wants to engage with us. Tell us what your needs are, and we hopefully will be able to meet those needs.
Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to the next journey and the way forward with the Centre for Health Sciences Education and with the innovative ideas that you've got lined up. Let's make sure that they happen. But with that, thank you, Shira. And that was the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. In this episode, we looked at faculty professional learning in health sciences education, and we look forward to bringing you another guest next week.